the supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day he appointed for a rising. To thee belongs praise, for thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst thou willed, thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to thee belongs praise, for thou created, then proportioned, and ordained, and decreed, and gave death, and bestowed life, and made sick and healed, and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure, and provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah the Almighty, dear friends, salam. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. Today's a special, and we want to speak about Islam and Prophet Jesus. Today, Tuesday, is the 23rd of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 7th of Day, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 28th of December, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment by recitation of chapter Maryam, verses 24 to 25.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Fanadaha min تحتها ألا تحزني قد جعل ربك تحتك سريا.
But he called her from below her, Do not grieve, your Lord has provided beneath you a stream.
وهزي إليك بجذع النخلة تساقط عليك رطبا جنيا.
And shake toward you the trunk of the palm tree. It will drop upon you ripe, fresh dates.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Some commentators have said that the caller unto Mary has been Gabriel. But the context of the verses shows that the caller has been Jesus in a manner that the mother hears his words and believes what he says. And later, with a calm mind, she tells people to ask about her chastity from the child in the cradle. At the time of delivery and after it, women usually need tranquility, water and appropriate food, the things which have been mentioned in these verses. The food which has been recommended in the Holy Quran and by some Islamic tradition for the woman who has already delivered is fresh ripe dates.
Prophets all came to show people the way, to bring peace everywhere, to take evil away. Prophets all came. Prophets all came.
What is the status of Jesus in Islam? The view of Jesus lies between two extremes. The Jews, who rejected Jesus as a prophet, called him an impostor, while the Christians, on the other hand, considered him to be the Son of God and worship him as such. Islam considers Jesus to be one of the greatest and most forbearing of prophets, in addition to Prophet Noah, Prophet Abraham, Prophet Moses, and Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon them all. Jesus is also considered to be the Messiah as well. This is in conformity with the Islamic view of the oneness of Allah, the oneness of divine guidance, and the complementary role of the subsequent mission of Allah's messengers. The message of Allah to humanity, which is to worship Allah and Allah alone, and to live according to His instruction, was revealed to Adam, peace be upon him, who passed it on to his children. All the subsequent revelations to Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and finally Muhammad are in conformity with that message. Thus, Islam views any contradictions among revealed religions as man-made elements introduced into these religions. The position of Jesus in the three major creeds, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, is not an exception.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the Prophet Jesus Christ. Now we find that in the Islamic religion, we find that there are many praiseworthy references to Jesus Christ and Mary. It's asserted by some authorities, Western authorities, such as Will Durant in his book, The Story of Civilization, that the Islamic religion and the Holy Quran and Muslims have done quite a lot in favor of Jesus Christ and Mary, because the core content of Jesus Christ's scripture is endorsed by the Holy Quran, and there are frequent references to Injil, that is to the New Testament, not the New Testament that's nowadays available among Christians, because we believe that it has been falsified, it has been deteriorated, but the original one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed unto the Prophet Jesus Christ and it's from the, its divine source. This book, I mean, the original divine scripture of Jesus Christ, is endorsed and relied on and frequently referred to in the Holy Quran. There are several books in the Islamic civilization and Islamic scholarship that collect and report the precise words of Jesus Christ. I mean, his prayers, his requests, his supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and some of the questions and answers exchanged between some of the companions of Jesus Christ and the answers Jesus Christ gave to them.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
This is an interesting part. We're going to speak about the gospel of the Shia of Ali. Neither Prophet Jesus nor Imam Ali advocated dour asceticism, as is indicated in this narration. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, John the son of Zechariah cried and did not laugh, and Jesus the son of Mary laughed and cried. And what Jesus did was more excellent than what John did. It is reported that Imam Ali alayhi salam said, Jesus the son of Mary said, blessed is he whose silence is contemplation, fikr, the sight of whom is an admonition, whose house suffices him, who cries over his mistakes, and from whose hand and tongue people are safe. It's a precious time to know about the words of Jesus, the world and the hereafter. Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, said, who would build a house on the waves of the sea? This world is that house, so you should not take it as a dwelling. Jesus said, woe to the companion of the world, how he dies and leaves it, and how he relies on it. And it deceives him, and how he trusts it, and it forsakes him. Vow unto those who are deceived, how that which is repugnant encompasses them, and that which is beloved separates from them, and that which is promised will come to them. And vow to those whose endeavors are only for the world and error, how he will be disgraced before Allah tomorrow.
So nowhere in the Bible do we see that Isa alayhi salam claims to be God, claims to be divine. In fact, he would always instruct his people to worship the one God. You know, that's the most important commandment. There is one passage in the Bible which tells us about the commandments, right? What is the most important commandment according to Jesus alayhi salam? See what Mark 12, 28 to 30 has to say. It explains to us the most important commandment. Of all the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus was asked in a gathering, tell us, what's the most important commandment? What did he say? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. That's the commandment. Hear, O Israel. Israel or Bani Israel, the Jewish communities, the children of the prophets of God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, The Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Now there was a man who was attending that gathering. What does he say to Jesus alayhi salam? He tells him, "Well said, teacher." The man replied, "You are right in saying that God is one and there is none but Him." We have clear passages from Isa alayhi salam that tell us the most fundamental aspect of our beliefs, the most important commandment is what? Believing in the one God. And He emphasizes the one God. The significance of believing in the one God. That's extremely important. What about the disciples of Jesus? Those closest to Him, who heard Him every day, who walked with Him, who traveled with Him. For example, Peter. Did Peter ever consider Jesus to be divine? Even though he saw Him, you know, performing all those miracles. Let's see what Peter says. He does not consider the fact that Jesus alayhi salam was born miraculously, or that He could cure the blind, He could cure the leper, He would perform all these miracles, revive the dead. He never saw that as a sign that this prophet is God. And here's the proof. In Acts 2:22, we are told how Peter thinks of Jesus. And Peter was one of the closest people to Jesus. He lived with Him. He heard Him. Peter stood up with the 11 disciples and addressed a crowd saying, what did he say to the crowd? "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles." He was a man, a prophet, who was authorized by God to perform miracles for you. Wonders and signs which God did among you through Him.
Dear brothers and sisters, that's all for today's special from IRIB English Radio. Inshallah, we'll continue this topic. So, till another episode, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah, and have a nice time.
يا من أتيت فزدت حبنا أسعدتنا وجمعت شملنا أنت هدية من الله لنا بعد انتظارنا لك طول السنة فيك السرور والهنا حمدا لك يا ربنا Let's enjoy this happy day. Eid Mubarak, come on, let's celebrate.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us ponder on a wonderful aphorism from Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Incapability is a catastrophe. Endurance is bravery. Abstinence is riches. Self-restraint is a shield against sin. And the best companion is submission to Allah's will.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In our previous discussions, we discussed two meanings of the name Fatima, given and explained to us by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. One is to cut off, or rather the word comes from the original word, which means to sever or cut off. And the first meaning that was given by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was that her and her followers will be cut off from the fire of hell. The second was that she was cut off from all evil. No evil shall touch her. She is infallible. And nor can the devil even try to get close to her. And, you know, this is going a bit far, but it's possible that if he does, he will get burnt himself. Anyway, again, it's just a bit of emotional speak there. But there is a tradition that is extremely difficult to understand. And we'll just mention the tradition and allow our dear listeners to ponder upon. Again, it is from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. And inshallah, if you have the time, there's another tradition that emphasizes this particular tradition of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Again, keeping in mind the meaning of the word Fatima, which means to sever, to cut off, you know, to keep afar, basically, separate. So in this tradition, it is narrated that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is reported to have said, again discussing Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha, and he says that, and she has been named Fatima, that is Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha, has been named Fatima, Zahra being another name obviously, but that's not our discussion right now, because the creation is unable to truly understand her. This is something very difficult to understand for myself. You know, yes, it is true that we do not understand. So basically, her status is something that is not understandable to us. Like the status of any of the Imam, any of the infallibles. We do not understand their true status. We cannot. It is impossible. We can get close to it, but to truly, existentially and essentially understand it is something beyond us. We are, you know, very weak in that regard. Again, this is going into the realm of Islamic mysticism now. So therefore, by understanding what Fatima means, that means to cut, to sever, we can understand this tradition in this way, that she has been named so that she has been cut off from the understanding of creation. Now, we can understand this in a different way, is that conceptually, she cannot be understood. There is no way to understand Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha via conceptions with our mind, you know, with history, no. If you wish to understand her to the ability and to an essential manner, you need to go beyond the mind. You need to become presential knowledge. And again, this is a discussion beyond the scope of our program. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to get that presential understanding of Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانا يا من ينجينا إحسانا ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and Assalamu alaikum to all of the dear listeners of this program, and thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of several Quranic parts. First, we are going to talk about a famous Quran reciter. Then, we are going to listen to a recitation by that reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation. Well, today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Mahmoud Abdul Hakam. This great Egyptian reciter was born in 1915. At the age of 10, he managed to memorize the Noble Quran completely within 2 years. In 1940, along with Sheikh Muhammad Rifat and Sheikh Ali Mahmoud, Sheikh Mahmoud Abdul Hakam established the first association of the Quran reciter. In 1944, he joined Egyptian Quran Radio, and he passed away in 1982 at the age of 67. May Allah bless him. Now let's listen to the recitation of verses 20 to 23 of Surah Al-Mu'minun, recited by Sheikh Mahmoud Abdul Hakam, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy it.
Kitabullah, Kitabullah.
كتاب الله كتاب الله
كتاب الله.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful. And a tree that springs forth from Mount Sinai that grows oil and is a relish for the eaters. And verily, in the cattle there is indeed a lesson for you. We give you to drink of that which is in their bellies, and there are in them numerous benefits for you, and of them you eat. And on them and on ships you are carried. And indeed we sent Noah to his people, and he said, O my people, worship Allah. You have no other God but him. Will you not then be afraid? But the chiefs of those who disbelieved among his people said, He is no more than a human being like you. He seeks to make himself superior to you. Had Allah willed, he surely could have sent down angels. Never did we hear such a thing among our fathers of old.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And what you just listened to was recitation of Surah Al-Mu'minun, verses 20 to 23, recited by Sheikh Mahmoud Abdul Hakam. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, Sheikh Mahmoud Abdul Hakam recited these beautiful verses of the Quran in Maqam Sika and also Maqam Huzam, which is a branch of Maqam Sika. Sheikh Abdul Hakam has a very deep voice. He has a very, his qarar is a very low note. For example, it's sol, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We have do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, si, do. It's sol. It's the lower soul, okay? And he has a very good voice. And in this recitation, he used the jawabat as well as the qarar of his voice. And he recited them very beautifully. I really enjoyed this recitation. In these verses, we had many, many rules of tajweed. We had ikhfa, we had idgham,
and iqlab.
Yes, we had madul muttasil, and some other rules of tajweed. Okay, verse number 20. وَشَجَرَةً تَخْرُجُ. First of all, the word شَجَرَةً, the ra has to be pronounced with thickness, with tafkhim, with velarization. The back of the tongue is raised.
Yes.
We have a full mouth when pronouncing this letter.
That's right.
وَشَجَرَةً, شَجَرَةً. And so the thing that causes the thickness is the velarization. The back of the tongue is raised toward the velum.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's called velarization. It comes from the word velum, which is also known as the soft palate. Then we have a rule of ikhfa. Shajaratan takhruju. Okay, here it is a tanween, and tanween and nun sakina are essentially the same in terms of the rules that are applied to them. Okay? So if you see a tanween, you have to know that it's a rule of nun sakina.
Yes.
Okay? And here we have a ta after the tanween.
That is a letter of ikhfa.
It's a letter of ikhfa. It's not a letter of idhar or idgham or iqlab. It's a letter of ikhfa, which we said that they are the remaining letters, huruf ma baqi, whatever remains other than the letters of idgham,
three groups that you mentioned.
Yes, idhar, huruf al-halqiyah, which are hamza, ha, ha, kha, ayn, and ghain.
Yes,
and the one letter of iqlab. And whenever ikhfa takes place, you should not pronounce nun sakina from its own place of articulation.
Yes.
You have to approximate the place of articulation of the letter of ikhfa, the next letter after the tanween or nun sakina. It means that, approximation means that the articulator, which is used to pronounce ta, okay, when we say articulator, we could mean the tongue, the lips,
The teeth,
or even
alveolary,
the throat sometimes. Okay. Whatever is used to produce the sound of a letter is called an articulator. So the articulator of ta is the tongue. Okay. So we have to approximate the place of articulation of ta. We bring the head of the tongue, which is used for pronouncing ta, really close to the gum line behind the upper front teeth. Ta.
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 But we do not touch, actually.
But we don't make a touch. We say, وَشَجَرَةً تَخْرُجُ.
وَشَجَرَةً
تَخْرُجُ. It gets really close to the place of articulation of that. We hold the tongue in this position for two vowel counts while we apply
nasalization.
وَشَجَرَةً تَخْرُجُ وَشَجَرَةً تَخْرُجُ. This is إِخْفَاء. Okay, we have another إِخْفَاء. مِنْطُورِ مِنْطُورِ. Now, the letter of إِخْفَاء here is another letter. It's not ta, it's ta. But in fact, they have the same place of articulation.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is that ta also has tafkhim. And so we have to show the tafkhim and also the itbaq.
Yeah,
it's a faring, yes. It's the strongest letter in the Arabic alphabet. And we have to raise the root of the tongue while applying the ikhfa, and also the body of the tongue.
Yes.
The back of the tongue also. So Mil-tori. It's like we are applying the tafkhim while we are applying the ikhfa. There are other rules of tajweed in these verses as well. We don't have time to go over all of them. But let's mention the last one, which is Sayna'a. This is Maddul Muttasil.
A conjunct man.
Yes. And Maddul Muttasil takes place whenever there is a hamza after a long vowel. And the hamza has to be in the same word as that long vowel.
Okay. Is Maddul Muttasil.
And this is Maddul Muttasil. You can lengthen it to 4 or 5 vowel counts.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned. Allahumma wa as'aluka su'ala man ishtaddat faqatu wa anzala bika 'inda ash-shada'id hajata wa 'azama fi ma 'indaka raghbata Allahumma Brothers and sisters, in the previous program, we started talking about this part of Kumail's supplication. Allahumma azuma sultanuk, O Allah, great is your kingdom. Wa ala makanuk, lofty is your being. Wa khafiya makruk, O Allah, your contrivance is hidden. For those of you who may not know the meaning of contrivance,
We have to mention that it means something like deceitfulness with regards to Almighty Allah's beings, which is used for deceiving others. But applying this word and this meaning to the Almighty Allah is not right, because it is the attribute of the incapable. It is the attribute of the unwise human beings. And as you all, dear listeners, know, incapability and ignorance is not part of the holy essence of the Almighty. His holy essence is holy knowledge. It is holy might, mercy, and generosity. All the beings are in need of him, and he is the one which is needless. He is the absolute cause. So, contrivance with regards to the Almighty Allah means chastisement and punishment. This is what some scholars have mentioned. He would use it for those who deserve it. He would use these chastisements and punishments, and this is what is meant by khafiya makruk. Your contrivance is hidden means the people who are subject to his chastisement and punishment, they have no escape from it. One interesting aspect to be discussed is that his chastisement for those who commit sins arrogantly and ignorantly are in different ways. One way is that it is gradual, in which case as the ignorant sinner increases his wrongdoing, Almighty Allah adds to his blessings so that the servant's ignorance would be enhanced by the increased blessings. He would forget about Almighty Allah. He would forget about from whom these blessings are coming from. As a result, the sinner is about to forget a repentance. And then suddenly chastisement befalls without the sinner's attention, without him being aware, and he will be entangled. And the chastisement will avenge him. In fact, the sinner would face the hidden contrivance in this case.
Oh Allah, I beg as one whose neediness is extreme and who supplicates his knees to you and whose desire for that which is with you has become great. Oh Allah, great is your kingdom and exalted is your greatness. Your plan is secret, your authority is manifest, your might is victorious and subduing, and your power is prevalent throughout, and it is not possible to escape from your dominion. O Allah, apart from you, I do not find anyone able to pardon my sins, nor to conceal my shameful acts, nor do I have anyone except you to change my evil deeds into virtues. There is no God but you, glory and praise be to you. I have oppressed my own soul, I had the audacity to sin by my ignorance. I have relied upon my ancient remembrance of you and your grace towards me. O Allah, my Lord, how many of my ugly deeds have you concealed? How many of my grievous afflictions have you abolished? And how many stumblings of mine have you prevented? How many of my detestable acts have you averted? And how many of my undeserving praises have you spread abroad?
Thank you, Allah,
now that we're here,
feeling so good about all the things that we went through. That God speaks with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true. And we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable. No
the ocean of dua.
In this regard, there is a very interesting tradition narrated from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. He alayhi salam says, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِعَبْدٍ خَيْرًا. In fact, sometimes Almighty Allah wills to give His servant blessings and goodness. فَأَذْنَبَ ذَنْبًا أَتْبَعَهُ بِنِعْمَةٍ وَيُذَكِّرُهُ الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ. If that servant commits sins, Almighty Allah would give him blessings, and the servant becomes warned and repentant. وَإِذَا أَرَادَ بِعَبْدٍ شَرًّا فَأَذْنَبَ ذَنْبًا أَتْبَعْهُ بِنِعْمَةٍ لِيُنْسِيَهُ الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ وَتَمَادَى بِهَا. Sometimes, on the other hand, he wills evil for a servant. Of course, it means that the servant has started doing evil things and he is not going to be back. It continues, then he grants blessings to the sinner after his wrongdoing. So the servant gets entertained by the blessings and hence he becomes more ignorant. He would thus forget repentance and his sins continue due to the blessings. وَهُوَ قَوْلُهُ. This is what Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says. هُوَ قَوْلُهُ سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. This is the sense of Almighty Allah saying, we draw them near to destruction by degrees from whence they would not know. In fact, this is one possible meaning of the phrase وَخَفِيَ مَكْرُكُ, and your contrivance is hidden. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program as well. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Well, hello and welcome. This is another session of Q&A on Islamic beliefs, and this is IRIB English Radio. I'm your host, and we have Dr. Karimi with us to continue the discussion of animal rights and the process of sacrifice, the ritual of sacrifice. Hello, Doctor. In the previous session, we talked about the ritual of sacrificing. We said that the animals have been created for the benefits of human beings. And we talked that this has a long history in other religions. Also, we have the ritual of sacrifice. And the number of the animals that are considered to be a good point, a good cases for sacrifice, are very limited. They're not in a large number that would affect the animals. Now, today we will have to talk about the animal rights. Shall you please talk about the animal rights for us?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And thank you for that summary. The point is that some people who are arguing against slaughtering the animals in their religion of Islam, they claim that they are pro the rights of the animals, and Islam is not like that. But when we refer to the verses and the narrations and the viewpoints of the great Muslim scholars, especially we are talking about Shia scholars, we will see how Islam is highly respecting the animals, and we can claim that Islam is the best religion in terms of considering the rights of the animals. There are many points to be mentioned in this regard. The first point is the fact that according to Islamic jurisprudence, especially Shia jurisprudence, animal in and of itself is a respected being and creature of God. So, for example, one of the famous Shia jurists, Sheikh Muhammad Hassan Najafi, who is the author of the well-known Jawahir al-Kalam, he says that animals, they are, I mean, respected beings, and it is an obligation upon the people to quench the thirst of the animals. And it is absolutely forbidden to torture the animals keeping them thirsty and not quenching their thirst. Not only that, بل هي واجبة النفقة علي. You know that we have the concept of nafaqa in the religion of Islam. Yes. For example, the sustenance should be provided by a husband and father for his family members. Now here, these Shia scholars talk about this nafaqa as a kind of the nafaqa of animal to be a kind of obligation upon the owner. Yes. So this is the way Islam looks at the rights of the animals. And not only that, according to some narrations, there are rights for animals upon the owners, including quenching the thirst, feeding the animal even before himself. And then he refers to a very great point. He says that the fact that Islam asks the people to respect the animals is not because of the fact that animal is a property. It makes a great difference how we look at this obligation. Yes, we need to, quench the thirst of the animal. But what is the reason? Is the reason that it is a property of us and we should keep it alive? Or no, it has another reason. He says that no, it's not only because of the fact that it is a property, it is your wealth. Rather, it is because of the fact that it is a living being and creature, and because of that, it has all these rights.
Right, yes.
Sheikh At-Tusi, the great Shia scholar, also, after referring to the fact that the nafaqa, the sustenance of the animals, is an obligation upon the owner, he says that لَأَنَّ لَهَا حُرْمَةً, it, the animal, has a great respect. The same has been mentioned by Allama Hilli. Now, we said that according, as you rightly mentioned at the beginning, when we're talking about the slaughtering the animals, Islam only permits that for a few number of the animals, not all of them. But to begin with, according to the religion of Islam, all the animals have the right of life, and no human being has permission to kill the animals without any reason.
Yeah.
So even when it comes to sheep, camels that we are allowed to slaughter, we cannot just kill them for fun. It should be based on a kind of wisdom.